we will start reading. But before we read that, once you find it out, let's go to Matthew, one verse only. Just 1 second. Matthew 10:5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter you not." Well, this passage, and now we go to John chapter 4. This is one that I usually used to go in punches with my brother, because I used to tell him that the Bible contradicts itself. And he was defending the Bible. So we will be getting arguments, nearly fighting. Because in here, you will see this passage that we're going to read here, what happened. Now, Jesus is telling his disciples in Matthew 5, verse 5, that we just read it, not to go there. That's Jesus speaking, because it's in red. Now, let's start verse 3 here. He left Judea, we are in John chapter 4, verse 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he needs go through Samaria. Well, if you are about 12 years old, I did not understand that. I just could not work it out. How he can say that in Matthew not to go there, and now he himself is going in. And can you imagine his apostles, the disciples with him? How will they be feeling he's going through Samaria? I knew a Jewish person in Paraguay that he said, "We hate so much the Samaritans that if I have to make a detour of 7 miles, I'll do it, but I'm not going to go through Samaria." Well, so they are not really good people there. Now, and he must go through Samaria. Then come he to a city, verse 5, then he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Is that the right pronunciation, Sychar? Near to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. It's very important to remember this, that his well was there, and what it meant for the Jewish people. Just reminds me South American, the Catholics, it's all the little things that they keep as an idols. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. It's lunchtime, 12 o'clock. So Jesus was there. And what did his disciple did? They went to buy some fish and chips, whatever. They have to get some meal that time. I spoke to a person who was in this place and knows exactly the custom of this place. And I want to explain to you a few things what happened a bit later on so we know. But verse 7, there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away and to the city to buy meat. I really don't know what the disciples would have done it if they would be there when that woman came to take water. Because they to each other, they can't see each other. So, then he said to the woman of Samaria, unto him, "How is that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria?" The Samaritans knew exactly when they were dealing with Jewish people because of the way they have they gums, whatever they call it. They have a special mark that they show, and they will know they were a Jewish person. And even by the talking, they knew it. So this woman knew exactly that she cannot talk to this man, and he shouldn't be talking to her. Now, it's funny that she went there on a lunchtime. That man that spoke to me about this place said that no one goes at lunchtime, because it's too hot. It's too hot. But we will see later on why she went that time to the water. Christ knew about her. Christ knew that she doesn't know the Lord. And that was the reason that he said, "I must go to Samaria." To Christ, every soul was important. Every soul. We should never, I have a missionary that is in South America now, and I was showing him all the places. I didn't tell him, "You have to do what I did," but I show him what I was doing on a daily basis, some fixed things that it will be good to continue. And on Saturday morning, we went to the Indians, where the Indians are. You have to have special permission to go there. They are there, like the, maybe like the Aboriginals in here or whatever. And he said to me as we were driving, what is the point going there? I said, what do you mean? Well, why are you going to the Indians? I said, because they have a soul like you and me. Amen. That's the reason. We should never look at other people that they are lower than we are. We are all the same in God's eyes. So that's these women, even she was a Samaritan, they shouldn't talk to each other. They shouldn't even meet. Jesus was there to talk to her. Then, let's say the verse 9. Then say the woman of Samaria unto him, how is that thou, being a Jew, asking of me, which I am a Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And that's why we read in Matthew that he told them not to go there. Go first to the sheep of Israel. Don't worry about the Gentiles. Don't worry about the Samaritans. Now he's changing. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who is that say to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask him, and he will give... You will have given the living waters. Living waters. I'm sure she didn't know. She have no clue what he's saying because of what she's telling him now. She said to him, the woman said unto him, sir, thou have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then thou hast the living water? And there, here it comes. That reminds me of Catholicism. See what she's saying here? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? See? Her trust was in Jacob. We have that in America. Which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? To her, the importance was Jacob, not the man speaking to her. And he answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up unto the everlasting life. I'm sure she never understood what it's all about. How can he give it? Well, that's what she keep asking him. The woman said unto him, like she didn't understood, but unless she asked for it. Verse 15 is very important. That I always think that this is the moment that she trusted the Lord without knowing much. A lot of people, when they get saved, especially from Catholicism, say Catholics are very special people for me in South America. I really love them. You know why? Because they don't know nothing. It's a barren land. It's a virgin land. Nothing in there. It all depends what seat you put on. That's what you're going to have. And they are the best people in church once they get saved. They don't know nothing. Only 35 years ago, all the masses in those countries were in Latin. Well, nobody can understand. We don't understand Latin. I still don't know why they call it Latin America. I don't know. No one speaks Latin in South America. That's a religious, that's a language that Satan uses in the Vatican. So when the priest speaks, nobody understands. That's the main thing. That's Latin is for. And they about this new pope that they have now, that he's about to introduce Latin again. He's really, really evil man. It's a scary. If you only knew who he is and what he has managed to do, it's just incredible. You know that the biggest failure of God was letting Christ to go to the cross? And he's going to write a book now that will replace the Bible. He already said that. Can you imagine? We have a Jesuit pope. We never have one yet. Do pray for the Christians especially. It will come up something. Well, this woman, in verse 15, clearly we see that she is asking for that water. Did you ever ask? Did you ask the Lord living waters? Never thirst again. A lady was telling her testimony a little bit just now that when she forgave whoever she upset her, everything come down. She feels, relax. Isn't that good? She got that water, living waters. Well, Jesus said unto her, go and call the husband. Well, here's the problem now. Which one? That is the reason she was there at lunchtime. Because all the other ladies, because her job was stealing husbands. So if she comes for the water, and there's some lady that she already knows that the husband has something to do, there will be a fight. There will be going some big trouble. So the best time to go to get the water was lunchtime. Nobody goes there. It's too hot. Too hot. So they all go earlier. Well, so the Lord says to her, call thy husband and come hither. Once she asked for the water, she had to sort it out, everything. Everything. Then the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom, that's the number six, who is now has, as it now is, sorry, and he whom thou now hast, it not thy husband. In that says they truly. Well, she knew straight away that she was talking to a special person. It just wasn't it. She knew it. She didn't know who he was yet. But he already offered her a living water. First of all, he offered her living water. No man can do that. No man can offer living water to no one. Maybe sprinkling water you can give or some icy water, but that's about all. But living water, that was the first one. Now, this man, they met for the first time, and he knows all her history. He knows everything. And do you believe that? A lot of people said, nah, Jesus is not Jesus. He's not God. That's Jehovah's Witnesses. He was created. No, Jesus is God. He knew all the history. And the woman said unto him, sir, she's trying to change. I perceive that thou art a prophet. She's paying attention now. Our father, and here against tradition, comes tradition, reminds me of Catholicism. Our father is worshipped in these mountains. And ye say that Jerusalem is the place that thou worship. Well, Jehoroban, now you mentioned that name, the king that took over the northern territory. Pastor, how do you pronounce his name? Jeroboam. He fixed a place where they have to worship. He said, no more going to Jerusalem. He put that. That's the service. That woman must have been born much after. That's why she said, our father's worshiping here. You say we have to go to Jerusalem. Why? And well, look the answer of Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me that the hour cometh when ye shall neither in these mountains nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Why did he say salvation is of the Jews? What did that bring you to? Who gave us the word of God? To whom we should say thank you that we have the Bible? The Samaritan? No, the Jewish people. If it wouldn't be for the Jewish, we wouldn't have the Bible. So he's clarifying that. But verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't worry about the mountains. You have the way to serve the Lord. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. So she knew something about the Bible. She wasn't completely ignorant. She knew that the Messiah will come. Well, the prophet told, David prophesied, Isaiah prophesied, so many of Christ that he will come, the Redeemer. Even Job, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job, one of the oldest book on the Bible, and he already know about Jesus. So she is telling Christ that he's coming. And then Jesus in verse 26, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Well, isn't that good? I can imagine that woman, what was going through her mind. If that is true, if he is the Messiah, he knows everything what I did. She was a quite naughty woman, no? No doubt about it. She never said no. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet not men said, what seekest thou, or what talkest thou with her? I presume they were really surprised. It wasn't a custom to a man to go to a woman, and less, much less than being Samaritan. So they marveled that. Now, this verse that's coming now is the one that I really want you to pay attention. Then the woman then left her water pot. Left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man which told the things that I ever did. He's not the Christ. It's funny that her sermon was such a short sermon. But she left that pot. That man that talked to me about this place, he said, one thing you don't do in that place is to ever leave your pot. Your life would be gone if that pot gets stolen or broken. Now I'm wondering, what was in that pot that she left? Are you willing to leave some pot behind with all the things that you have? We should all do that. Take this, what the woman did. She just left the water pot. She couldn't care less. She left because she had to go to the city and tell somebody to come to Christ. That's what she did. Exactly that. When I preach in South America and I'm trying to ask people, like individually, when I go to the homes or whatever, and I will ask them to accept Christ. Well, some accept really easy, and I know it's not for real. I know. Because being so long, you know. But when a person receives Christ and straight away tells me, oh, would you like to come and talk to my father or to my grandfather or to my uncle? You know, they don't know nothing about this. That person is safe. They start worrying. Well, what did this woman do? She left her water pot away and off she went to the city to tell them. And she was the least qualified woman to go and talk about Christ to somebody. Don't you reckon? Her job was stealing husbands. That's what her profession. She had six of them. She was living with the six, number six. And she came then. Then she went out to the city and came unto him. Let's go verse 29. What she says to the man, come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. He's not the Christ. Isn't he the Christ? Well, then they went out and come unto him. What better job? Bringing people to Christ. That's what literally she did. Brought people to Christ. Her sermon was very short. She only said that he told me what I did all my life. That was her sermon. She never asked for money like all those in the television, those ladies, you know, with $1,000 to the right, with the $500 to the left, and all. She never asked that. She was preaching Christ. Come and see Christ. That's what we should do. Don't worry about money. Just go and preach Christ. So, verse 32. But he said unto them, Then they went out of the city and come unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, that means asking him, begging him, Master, eat. That's what they went to do. They went to buy some lunch. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And of course, he confused them again. They didn't know if somebody already gave him something to eat. Why is he not eating? Now, go to verse 39. I can't go the whole lot because it's for the time. Go to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believe on him for the saying of which testifies, he told me all that ever I did. And you know what? You sitting here, Christ knows everything what you and I did in our life. There is not one thing hidden. You may be hidden a lot from people, but not from Christ. He knows everything. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they brought him, they besought him that he will tarry with them, and he abode there for 2 days. For 2 days, that's good, isn't it? You new people saved, and I presume that a lot of people come to Christ that particular day because of that woman. And because Jesus took the effort to go to Samaria. That was a no-no. He forbid his disciple to go there. He said, don't go. No Samaritans, no Gentiles. Just go to the sheep of Israel. Only preach to the Jewish people. Well, isn't that nice for us to know that the doors are open for everybody? Can't you put yourself, if you are a lady, a woman sitting here, where a lady's place is? She went and told the people only to come to Jesus. She didn't make a big sermon and trying to do to convince like they do it today, feminists and all that nonsense. She just told them, come and see if that is Jesus, because he told me everything what I did. And I presume most of the people knew exactly what she was. There's no doubt about it. They knew it. They knew it. Just the time she went for the water. And if the Lord choose to go through Samaria and that particular time, do you reckon the Lord really is interested in you? Well, he was really interested in that Samaritan woman that was living with number 6 husband. He was interested in her. How many people I witness in my life and they will say to me, well, it's easy for that, but if you only knew who I am, well, I don't want to know. The Lord knows who you are. Or they will tell you, well, I will make that decision that you're telling to me about, but a bit later. I said, why? You have to sort it out, you think? Yes. Well, I said, you won't. You will with Christ, not by yourself. Never live for tomorrow because you are too much of a sinner. You don't know if tomorrow will come to you. Maybe you will be dead with your sins. You will see tonight when I will be showing some of the pictures that you will see. People that I witnessed to them, and one particular young man, he only have about 3 hours he was in his life, he accepted Christ, and he was killed. That's incredible how God works. I witnessed to an old couple, they accepted me with open my arms because I spoke Ukrainian, and they were Ukrainian, and they really want to speak Ukrainian with me. But they were Catholic Orthodox. They didn't never go to any church, but that's what their name was. Now, particular people that I preach to them, I never met in my life somebody more ignorant than that couple. I was trying to, I don't waste time when I come. Well, they were happy. We start chatting in Ukrainian, a bit here, a bit there, and where is your father live now? Well, and I straight away said, well, I can see you very sick. He's smoking here, and then he has his oxygen here, and some hoses from there and there. So I said, you don't look very good, very healthy. I said, are you ready to die? And he said to me, well, I wish I die because I just can't put up with all this. I said, do you know where you're going? To hell. Well, at least he was open. To hell. He's to hell. Yeah, I said, do you want to go to hell? Well, if you only knew all about me, you wouldn't ask that. I said, no. I said, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for people. You go there because you choose to go. So I started witnessing to him. I started with Nicodemus, that you have to be born again. And I was trying to go slowly because I sort of suspected that they just don't know anything. And I was going, and then when you finish after about 40, 50 minutes speaking, then you ask them, would you like to accept Christ and change? And what is that? How you go about? They did not understand nothing what I said to them. I think I went through the eunuch, through the jailer, to the centurion, and then they understood. I will tell you tonight exactly how and when they understood. Well, that lady, she was quite healthy. She was much younger than her husband. And once she told me one day, explain to my husband properly that he would understand. Because he was already 34 days in coma. He hasn't got lungs. They are all black. They are melted. He's very sick man. And I said to her, excuse me, lady, how do you know that you're not going to die first? And she said, then she really opened her eyes. She said, oh, can you explain again then? Well, then I have their attention. And they accepted Christ, both of them. 2 weeks later, that lady was buried. She got a stroke and she died. And he died just now before we came here. He still outlived her 18 months. People, why I'm saying that, especially young people, you want to be a missionary. Never live for tomorrow what you can do today. Never postpone. I will see him next time. I will tell him. I have actually one of my son. He said, Dad, I don't like to go witnessing with you because you are too pushy. Too pushy. I beg your pardon. Out of time. Time and out of time, Paul said. Talk. Say it. Nothing to do with too pushy. I have people, I was getting new glasses in Misiones, Argentina, and they didn't work. Something was wrong, so I went back there to fix it. And the lady who she said, well, you will have to leave for 2 hours, have a lot of tracks. I said, yeah, that's okay. I have something else to do, so I'll come back in 2 hours. And then she said, can you give me your name? And as soon as I said, Holowati, she just spelled it perfectly. And I was shocked because in Spanish you never spell. You just write the way it sounds. So we don't, we're not like English people. If you go to South America and you say spell, they will ask you, did you went to school ever? You don't spell in Spanish. But if the surname have H-W-Y, yeah, you have to say it. Because I and W sounds like I. So you have to say Y. You have to tell them that. So, but she spelled perfectly. And I said to her, how did you know how to write my surname? Oh, an old man used to come here. I knew exactly she was talking about my older brother. He was number 2 in the family. I'm number 13. So number 2 brother. He was one of those preachers. He was pastoring for over 60 years, but he never offended a Catholic. And he rebuked me when I got into trouble in Paraguay because I was in the newspaper and all that, giving tracts against Catholics. They actually confiscated my church building at once. So he never upset anybody. And he told me, you don't do that. You have to respect the Catholics. I beg your pardon. 40 million martyrs from the Catholic Church, and I have to respect them. The system. I'll respect the Catholic person, but not the system. Never. God loves the sinner, but not the sin. The same goes there. So, well, he said, we always disagree. And she told me how good he was. So, because I told her, you must be my sister. Because she was such a nice sister in Christ. She said, yes, I am. I said, which church you go? She said, Catholic. I said, no, you're not. You're not my sister. She said, wow, your brother never told me that. Well, I said, you're not. I said, okay, I'll ask you another question. And I will know if you are my sister. If you're going to die now, you go there on the road, busy road was in front, and you get killed, accident, you get killed. Are you going to heaven? 100%? She said, no, don't talk like that. That's scary. Oh, see, you're not my sister. I know that I'm going to heaven. And to my surprise, she asked me, where in the Bible it tells you that you can be sure that you're going to heaven? So I quoted her by memory, John 5:24. That's the best verse that confirms you that you're going. And it's better if you all know that by memory. Because you will talk to somebody sometimes and they have no Bibles. You have no Bible because you're going to work. So the plan of salvation is all in your brains, have to be there, all the texts you needed. I have them all. You will see tonight when I spoke with the Catholic priest to visit me home. And I start quoting him the Bible and he never talk again. They just cannot believe that you never did much study as they did and you know the Bible so much. And that is good. We have to, I just want to, before they start ringing the bell, we have to be sure that wherever we do, once you got Christ in your heart, try to bring people to Jesus, like this woman did. And like this woman did. I'm sure that there is not a single woman in here that lived the life she lived. But see how much she did for the Lord? She was living with the 6th husband, number 6. And Christ took her. As soon as she accepted, she asked for that living water, Christ never will refuse. Anybody who needs living water, salvation, Christ will give it. Doesn't matter how much sinner you are, actually always more grace for more sinners from Christ. Christ willing no one to perish. So remember that. We have to preach always to everywhere, wherever they are. Don't be scared. Don't be scared, please. Don't worry if people tell you you are out of fashion or you are doing. You should know where you are before you start doing. I used to go to Catholic Church Cathedral, Salta, big ones. And when they're having mass, it's good because they're all quiet and nobody looks around. So you go there and start putting tracks, a Roman Catholic Christian. Everywhere, wherever there is a little, you just leave the track. And my phone is there. I get phone calls after. When we used to go with Elizabeth, sometimes give tracks in the morning. We would spend 3 hours giving tracks. And we're already walking 1 hour and still nobody abused me and I'm getting upset. Then I get a phone call. Don't you know that the Catholic Church is the mother of the whole church? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, good. Somebody is reading. They start abusing me. So we have to do that. I know how hard it is giving tracts in Australia. When I was doing Bible college, the subject was compulsory. Once a week, 1 hour with your pastor giving tracts. I used to do that. We used to take 15 tracts with Pastor Blake. Pastor Blake was the best for that. And we would be just walking and you will see somebody working in the garden. We're still far away. They already said, no, thank you. They confused us with Jehovah's Witness. And I don't blame them. So, no, thank you. Well, then somehow I all managed to give about 10. I still have 5 with me. But on the way back, they all thrown. That's not happening in Argentina. In Argentina, you will see some photos today. They go for it. They go for the tracks. And I always ask the Lord to bless those people who are willing to do that. It doesn't matter how hard it is. The sin is the same here and in Argentina. Exactly the same. And the sinners are the same. We just have better life in here. That's why they don't care about God. That's the only reason. We have to always give tracts to people, talk to people. Wherever you go, don't hesitate. Don't be scared. I remember, I'll tell you some because it's going to be too long tonight, so I won't be able to tell you all. I have a friend of mine, when I used to work for the Commonwealth Bank in Sydney, and all the migrants used to arrive, and all the Spanish-speaking, I have to deal with them. I have to open a bank account. I have to take them to the motor register to get the driver license and interpret to them. But really, a good friend with a family, they came from Argentina. He was Polish background, and she was just Argentinian. Big family, 5 kids. We become good friends. And then suddenly, they divorced, separated. He was on his own. So I still was friend with him. He used to take my little boys fishing sometimes. But he will not allow me to speak about, he doesn't say God, religion. You can come here, you can eat, you can drink whatever you want, watch movies, but no religion. He always used to tell me that. And I was always a bit upset. He will not let me speak to him about Christ. So then we moved to Queensland. In Christmas, I sent him a Christmas card with a "This is your life" track inside. I waited for a few days and I called him. "Did you receive my Christmas card?" He said, "Yes," and I also received the other stuff. I said, "And what do you think?" "Well," he said, "the man that is drawn there that is coming with the death coming, it's coming around my house now. I got cancer and I died." Oh, he was really soft. I said, "Would you like somebody to come and talk to you?" He said, "Yes." My sister only lived about 50 meters away in another apartment. I told my sister, when she went there, the neighbor said the ambulance just took him. So she got a word. She found a Spanish-speaking pastor in Villawood, Sydney, and she sent him to the hospital. In his dying bed, he accepted Christ. See, it's not up to us what happened, but we have to do our job. His word never comes void. We have to speak. We don't have to give up. There is many ways. Well, he completely refused. I remember he invited me once to eat with him, to be with him. He was missing me. So I took my little son, Danny, and off. I drove from Sydney to Brisbane just to be with him. And I took the Bible ready. He got everything. And as soon as I opened the Bible, he said, no, that you can pray. I will respect that. But that's it. He wouldn't let me preach to him. But don't give up. because it's up to the Lord when the person gets saved. We have to talk to people no matter what. I was telling the pastor my first soul that I won in Australia. It was a Uruguayan man living next to me in Cabramatta Road in Sydney. And, well, because sometimes we want to be missionary, we're going to China, but our neighbor didn't know that you're Christian. You have to start with your neighbors first. Do they know that you're Christian? Well, that's very important. So my dad came to visit me in 1973. He was a bit, didn't want us longer because he couldn't speak. He didn't understand. I said, why don't you go and preach to the next door neighbor? He was really wild. I was a bit scared to go. So I said, my dad. And my dad went straight away. He grabbed the Bible and went there. A minute later, he's back. And he said he didn't punch me because of my age. You know what was my first thought when dad told me that? To hell with him. Never do that. Don't send anybody to hell. They're already going there. You don't have to push them. I said to myself, to hell with him. I really got upset. 2 months after, I can see his wife mowing the grass. And I said, why is not your husband helping? Oh, he's in the hospital. He got his tonsils out. He's sick. You want me to take him something? Yeah, cigarettes. And, oh, yeah, give me the cigarettes. I'll go to the hospital. And I took a little track, mysterious disappearance, that my brother wrote about the rapture. So I went to the hospital, and here he is. I didn't take the Bible because he's coming to bash me with the Bible when I'm sick. I said, your wife asked me to give you the cigarettes. He said, I can't smoke. The doctor said, no more smoking. I said, good, I'll take it back to your wife. And I'll leave you this. I left the track and left. I didn't speak to him. About 2 months after, for some reason, Elizabeth was not ready. She is always ready before I tell her. But she wasn't ready when we were going to church. Saturday afternoon. We use Baptist church building, so we have to do Saturday because they use Sunday. And I said, I'm going to see that neighbor. I went, knock on the door. He opened his door, shorts, very ugly, beer in the hand. And I said, neighbor, I'm coming to invite you to church. He said, your dad was here, and I didn't bash him because he's too old. And he told me, in Uruguay, my brother was a policeman. I was in the guerrilla, you know, guerrillero. So it was a matter of who pulls the gun first. I like women, I like drink, I like that, I like that. And you're talking to me about church. I said, that's exactly the people, as bad as you are or even worse, I'm looking for. And then I said to him, before he said anything, I said, let's make a deal. You come today with me, and if you don't like, I will never bother you again. And he shook my hand. Deal. He's coming to church. Well, I waited, and that day we were late in church because I have to wait until he gets ready. We came to church, and the pastor preached. We have a pastor then by that time. As soon as the service finished, he came to me, and he said, you told something about me to that man because he spoke all against me. I said, no, we came late. I didn't speak to him. I never spoke about you to that man. He said, I'll be here next Saturday. I said, no. The next Saturday is the day that all your friends come, barbecue and drinking. But I said, because you promised, I'll be sure that you will come. And next Saturday I was there. There was about 6 cars, fire going on for the barbecue, all the drinks there. And I'm there knocking the door. So he came and he said, hey, neighbor, what will you do? Easy. Tell them all to go, come with me to church. Yes. It's your house. And his wife looked at him and said, you promised him. And I said, he will come because the Uruguayans don't lie. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And the cars start going down, one after another. He came to church that day, and the pastor preached on how high, how tall he was, that Jesus had to tell him, Zacchaeus, come down. And he said to me, that's me. That's me. He proud. And before the pastor make a call, I'm not lying this, I never in my life experienced that. They both come forward and start crying and apologizing what they're doing. Nobody said nothing. We all start to pray. That man, 18 months after, 18 months, was in Cuba Pedi preaching to the Uruguayans underground looking for opal. But Alex could not sleep because come any time during the night knocking on the door. Excuse me. What is this means? He's reading the Bible. He wants to catch up. And I have to teach him there. And well, hey, you better do it. You better, when you get somebody to the Lord, doesn't matter, you young people, if you win a soul to the Lord, teach them. Teach them. They need to know. And he was devouring the Bible. He's still saved today. And you know what? The best of all, you know who prays most for you when you are alive? Your mother. I have no doubt about it. In my case, my mother was one person that always prayed for me. I'm not saying that dad didn't pray, but I knew that with the name and everything. When she passed away, who continued praying every day for me? That man. He told me, Alex, there is not one day that I don't pray for you because you took me to church and changed my life. First, he used to say, because you saved him. I told him, don't never say that. God never give us the power to save somebody. He is the Savior. I'm only his instrument. And he's still very dumb. Now, do I have time to tell something more about him?
Yes.
About 2 years ago, I came from Argentina. I went to visit him. And he said to me that his daughter has lupus. Very sick in the hospital. I don't know what is that. But anyway, I said, do you want me to go? He said, yes. But I never asked the name of his daughter. She was born after I left, after we separated. I didn't know his name, her name. So when I was praying, because I could not remember the name, I said, Lord, take care of this señorita, miss. And that he got offended because he doesn't go to Independent Baptist Church. So he worked it out. Oh, so Independent Baptist Church, so they are safe, but we are not. So he will not call her sister or something, or by name. But he never told me nothing. He didn't say nothing. We went, we shook hands, and that's it. Then I went to visit him again just before going to Argentina. And as I parked the car, he came with his car, and he went straight to me, start telling me off. Telling me off, but really badly, that why I didn't call her sister. And he wouldn't even let me to explain to him. I want to tell him I didn't know her name, and I just was praying, and it comes like that. But he wouldn't. So what you do in that case? I just sat quiet, and we went to the kitchen, and he told me about for another 10 minutes. So when he finished, I said, Hugo, you finish? Yeah, thank you very much. And I walked out. I didn't say the word. I walked out, sit in the car, and go. Well, that was the best thing I did, because he couldn't sleep after that for all the, until next time I came from Australia. And he was walking in the morning, early in the morning, he was walking in Tungabi. And he could see a big factory, old factory, group of people praying there. Tungabi Baptist Church bought a big factory to do, convert into school and church. And they were praying there every morning from 5 to 6. Deacons, pastor, and a few more come to pray. And he was passing by. He just went in and he said, can I pray with you too? Because he was worried. He was walking. He couldn't sleep. So they invited him where he sits next to my son-in-law. He was a deacon. He sat next to my son-in-law and he said, I'm really worried. I'm feeling bad because the man who took me to the Lord, I upset him and I know he's upset. Maybe I wasn't upset, but he was telling him. And where is he? And he's in Argentina, a missionary. Is that Alex Holloway? Yeah, oh, he's my father-in-law. Don't worry, I will tell him. So I said, all come there. He's my father-in-law. And I went, of course, when I came, I went to see him straight away. And I never got angry with him. I understood perfectly. He got a sick daughter. And maybe he did suspect that I purposely didn't call her sister. I should have, if I didn't know her name, I should have said sister. But I even didn't know if she was safe. I didn't know. She was new for me. So we have to know sometimes how to forgive, how to act. Sometimes when somebody really telling you off, you just sit quiet. And then when he's finished, you finish. Yeah, thank you very much. Go. It works better. Sorry, I went a bit out of my sermon, but I want to tell you a few stories of ministry to encourage you to win souls for the Lord. You want to be wise? Read Proverbs 11:30. That's the only place that God allows you to be, you can call yourself wise. Proverbs 11:30, what you have to do to be wise. That's the verse I leave you. Thank you.